1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Fahrenheit 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. The documentary by Michael Moore has opened today around the country in select cities, I should say. It's opened here in Los Angeles. And we wanted to get just to read the temperature, if you will, if people have seen the film. And we've talked to a lot of people over the last several hours. Jeff Dowder is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech who went to see the film this afternoon. Actually, just a little catty corner from our studios here over at the Galleria. How are you, Mr. Dowder?
I'm very good, thank you.
Can you tell me what your take on the film was, Fahrenheit 9/11, the new Michael Moore film?
I really must say that Fahrenheit 9/11, I believe, is a very, very important film. It tells so much. You know, it just tells so much about how Bush, you know, was playing golf, you know, when 9/11 happened, and how he was listening to little kids and everything and didn't even do anything about it. He looked like he was so scared. They show in the movie how scared he was when 9/11 happened, and how much President Bush was friends with Osama bin Laden's family. I mean, the important thing I think you need to know about this movie is Michael Moore has opened my eyes and the eyes of America, and that's why I think it's entirely feasible that a lot of us would like to get together, at least try to get the financing together to have him tackle probably two of the greatest mysteries of the last 40 years, and that's the assassination of President Kennedy and the assassination of Princess Diana.
Well, you know what, I'll say one thing, sir. You're saying a lot there that needs to be refuted. And what makes you think it was an assassination of Princess Diana?
Well, it's fairly obvious to those of us who follow the story. She was in the country of France. The enormous heroin trade in France is well known. The possibility of this being a drug cartel hit because of the position of the royal family, but really what most of us now believe, and I think Michael Moore is the man to get to the bottom of it, is that Princess Diana was probably assassinated by the American CIA.
Why would the CIA kill Diana?
Probably a contract hit.
And it's for hire?
CIA for hire, yeah. I mean, the Israeli Mossad is for hire, the CIA is for hire. Contract hit is a favor of the royal family is entirely plausible, but the most important thing I think you have to understand is that Michael Moore finally is a person who is going to tell the truth on the things that have been happening around here lately that just, you know, it doesn't make any sense about how there would be terrorists in the Middle East, even though I know that they attacked the World Trade Center, but also we do business in the Middle East. And there's a lot of stuff that he says that needs to be looked at.
Look, first of all, let me say this about Princess Diana, if I could. I want to ask you a question. But if Princess Diana was assassinated by the American CIA, that would have been under Bill Clinton's watch. Are you asking Michael Moore to indict the Clinton administration in the death of Princess Diana?
No American president has any real control over the CIA. Okay?
So it's like Clinton wouldn't have known.
Well, I mean, what we're hoping is within the next 60 days, we can take a meeting with Michael Moore. I think it's very exciting. It's something I've looked forward to for a long time, to be able to sit down with this man and say, you know, we finally know, you know, that he can tell us what happened to Kennedy. Because if you see what he says about 9/11 and how he totally tells what happened in the way that, you know, nobody ever thought about it happening that way. And now what we're thinking about is John Kennedy and what happened to him and Princess Diana. And that's why, because Michael Moore will make a document and America will find out all about how the people lied.
Well, let me ask you something. And our number is 1-800-449-8686, my friends and listeners out there. If you want to join us, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Jeff Dowder. He is a teacher at California Institute of Technology, and he's also a went and saw the movie today, 9/11, The Temperature at Which Truth Burns. Let me ask you this. What makes you think Michael Moore isn't lying?
Have you seen the movie, Mr. Innick?
Jeff, what I want...
No, have you seen the movie, sir?
Yeah, yes, I did see the movie.
Then you saw the...
Yeah, I saw Michael Moore's movie, because I've seen... I saw 3 Days of the Condor, I saw The Formula, I saw Wag the Dog, I saw Arlington Road. I've seen Michael Moore's movie, okay? It's just another one of those movies. Or more like Michael Moore has probably seen all those movies. All right, so my question is...
Well, so why don't I think he's lying?
Yes.
Why don't President Bush come out and prove that he's not... that he's wrong? See, President Bush, okay, hasn't said anything about the movie because he can't prove that Michael Moore's wrong. Okay?
And so you also want him to work on a film about solving the Kennedy assassination?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Because the American Michael Moore, America wants him to go out and find out once and for all that the CIA killed Kennedy. They killed Kennedy because he betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. And I'm sure that if Jackie Kennedy was alive today, she'd say without question, please, Mr. Moore, please find out who killed President John Kennedy. And if Prince Charles were alive today, he would ask Michael Moore to find out about Princess Diana. Because Michael Moore has come along at the right time, I think, in American history. There's so many people lying to us, I don't even want to even think about it. You know, you don't know who's lying anymore. If you go anywhere, they'll lie to you.
Sir, Mr. Doubter, Michael Moore is the biggest liar of them all. He's a narcissist.
No, Mr. Ernie, you got to see.
No, hold on. Michael Moore is the biggest liar of them all. He's a narcissist with no ambition beyond making money, conning people, and self-aggrandizing. He can't back up anything in his movie because he's refused to be interviewed in depth about his film. He can't back up one thing.
You know, the reason why you say that is because you voted for Bush.
And no, I didn't.
Well, you sounds like you wish you had, because the people that don't believe in Mike Moore, the people who work for the big corporations who profit from the war, like Cheney and the Halliburton. And
okay, wait a second. I work for Clear Channel, which is a radio company. How am I profiting from the war? I'm not getting paid back, you know, by the show here. Michael Moore stands to make millions in this pack of lies that spits in the face of every American, and I mean every American.
Yeah, you profit from the war, because if there wasn't a war, you wouldn't have anything to talk about on your show, and as a result, you know, you'd either be fired, or you'd be spinning, you know, soft, relaxing hits on California's coast, or doing those things. And
you claim the CIA killed both Princess Diana and President Kennedy.
Mr. Ray, what I'm trying to say is Michael Moore can be the one to prove that the CIA, in conjunction with the Israeli Mossad, killed Princess Diana, and Prince John Kennedy as a part of a larger plan to eventually perform this kind of coup d'etat in other Western countries.
The Israeli Mossad killed Princess Diana. Why? Because she was dating an Arab? Because...
Well, not only... She was considering marrying him, which would have been... it would have been terrible. You know? And that was for Jews.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Doubter is with us. He has seen, just a gentleman who has seen the film 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. Michael Moore's new so-called documentary. Here is Barbara. Hello, Barbara. You're on the air with Jeff Doubter on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I totally disagree with
you. You probably need to turn your radio down. Ma'am, you need to turn your radio down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I don't think as a nation we can base our opinion.
Down.
I don't have my radio on.
No, I got to turn my radio down. I had.
You have yours turn yours down too, Doctor.
Okay, it's down.
Okay, but as a nation, I don't think we can base our opinion on one man's movie.
Well, you got to. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I don't have to see it.
It tells a lot about what happened. He was playing golf, basically.
No, he wasn't. He was at a preschool in Florida.
Well, they have a shot of him playing golf, talking about terrorists. Then he says, yeah, okay, watch this shot. Like he doesn't even care.
I see, I don't have to see it because my husband is in the military. I see it every day of what he has gone through in Iraq. And I know the stress that he is under, so I can only imagine the stress that President Bush is under.
Well, you ought to see this because he shows the dead soldiers in this movie. It's pretty sad.
See, that's another thing that bothers me. Where does Michael Moore get off showing the images of dead American soldiers? They may not have approved of having their pictures in that movie.
That is so derogatory because soldiers sign up for the military to protect and serve the United States, not to have their picture shown across the nation. They have, you know, died in action to protect us.
Well, you're afraid to see the movie, and I say it with all due respect, because then you'll have to face up the truth about Kennedy and Princess Diana.
What does
Kennedy and Princess Diana have anything to do with Fahrenheit 9/11?
Michael Moore is probably the best filmmaker to come along since... I remember the first time the greatest movie that I saw was E.T. And I saw that, I went, Steven Spielberg is... Yeah, it was a trip. Now Michael Moore's come along, and he even tops that.
How can you be so easily swayed by one man's opinion who doesn't even know the full truth?
What are you talking about?
His own research.
What are you talking about? He has film clips in there and everything.
He has film clips, but how do you know they're the truth? A lot of things are fabricated.
Well, Bush is sitting there fishing in the ocean, not even worrying about terrorists.
Wait a minute, man. Can't presidents go on vacation even during wartime? Kennedy did it. Johnson did it.
And then on... Do you remember on Thanksgiving, where was President Bush? He was sitting in Iraq with the troops, not with his own family.
Yeah, but he had a fake... He brought a fake turkey over and tried to tell everybody that he cooked it.
How do you know that?
He did not.
My husband was in Iraq on Thanksgiving.
Well,
he remembers that.
Did he sit with President Bush?
He was in the same room with President Bush, yes.
Well, okay, then he knows about the fake turkey that President Bush probably
tried to
pull off.
There was no fake turkey.
It was not a fake...
When Michael Moore had the chance to go to Iraq
understand
everything that they have gone through, then he can make a movie about 9/11.
Michael Moore went undercover in Iraq, and
no, he did not. He never went to Iraq. He had film crews that he said he embedded with the media, which he didn't. He lied about everything.
Oh, you know, all you say is that he lied.
Okay, let me ask you this, man. What does it prove to show a president sitting with school children when the 9/11 tragedies are announced and he doesn't get up right away? What does that say? Michael Moore says the guy is indecisive, doesn't know how to act and jump up and run out of the room, or was he trying to be kind to those children and not scare them?
He was probably trying to not scare them.
Exactly.
I mean, how can you be a leader of a nation, and how would you react to that kind of thing?
Here's the thing. You don't even know if your husband's in Iraq. He could be in Las Vegas. I mean, that's what's going on.
Oh, my God.
I watched him fly out of a Blackhawk from Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Yeah, but you don't know if he circled back.
Yeah.
All right, look, I got to take a break, Barbara. Thank you for your call. Tell your husband thank you on behalf of all of us here at home.
Thank you.
Oh, man, that is such bull...
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. How do you know your husband's in Iraq? He might have circled back to Vegas. Jeff Dowder is with us, one of many people who went off to see the Fahrenheit 9/11, the temperature which truth burns. It's difficult for me to say the title because there's an obvious joke there that even Michael Moore isn't aware of. Obviously, the truth is burning every time that movie is shown. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dowder feels, though, like many Americans, that Michael Moore is just the archangel of truth and that he should now tackle, since he's told the, quote, truth about 9/11, he should now tackle what happened to Princess Diana and John Kennedy. Was it the CIA? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
On the line with me is a man who saw the Michael Moore film Fahrenheit 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. His name is Jeff Dowder. He is a professor of mechanical physics, sir, at Caltech.
Yes, sir.
Now, you say that the movie is a brilliant film that shows exactly what happened on 9/11 and in subsequent days. The President Bush was golfing or sitting with kids or whatever it is.
Well, you're the one who said you knew what he was doing, Mr. Turner. I said in the movie...
I do know what he was doing, because he was in a school, but you say he was golfing?
He was golfing or fishing. He was fishing or something. I mean, the point that Michael is trying to get us to see beyond the truth and look at how he sees it. And in other words, you've got to understand...
Oh, Michael Moore wants us to see beyond the truth and look at how he sees it.
Yes, because, look, yes, there's the truth, but also, what does the truth mean? If Bush is sitting there baiting a hook to catch shrimp right after he hears about, 9/11, well, why don't I just, might as well stay here, because here there's some bonefish under the pier.
He didn't do that at all, though, man.
That's what he kind of, did, though.
No, he didn't, man. He was sitting talking to some kids. Then he went up to Washington, or he went on, actually was he was taken under Secret Service, you know, some sort of high security airplane and flown off.
But what Michael's trying to say?
Oh, what Michael's trying to say now? You guys are on first name basis with this guy,
Mr. Henry. What he's trying to say is, but it was like Bush was sitting there saying, "Yeah, you know, crack me another bud." And let's try some salmon eggs.
Oh my God!
See, you don't want to know the truth, man. You just want to sit there.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Joyce. Joyce, go ahead.
I'm listening to you right now, or just listening to you saying everything that Michael knows.
Yeah, he has a great deal of information in his movie 9/11.
Uh-huh. Now, where did he get all his information?
Well, first of all, he sent camera crews undercover into the White House, and just, he's got Bush acting stupid and everything.
Uh-huh. Well, I think
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
No.
If that's what you believe.
No, you didn't see the movie. It ain't showing in El
Hamra
yet.
Listen, if you believe Bush is acting stupid, you've got him beat by a mile. I would die if I had my kid being taught by a jerk like you. You better shape up, buddy.
You can't get into Caltech, lady. That's where I...
Oh, Caltech, my foot. I live near Caltech, and I see the people that go there.
Your kid couldn't get into Caltech.
If you got in, buddy, I could get in. In any event,
Why don't you go see the movie before you criticize things?
And I
think the reason why Bush didn't leave the kids right away is because Mike Moore proved that Bush didn't understand what happened. They said the plane exploded, and he's like, what?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? He was more interested
Have you ever been fishing, or have you ever been around kids?
What is that supposed to mean?
It makes about as much sense as you're making.
Well, here's one thing that I know for a fact.
You know what?
They wouldn't let you in the Caltech.
And kiss
because you're
Michael
too old. Michael Morrison's
ring.
Ha, ha, ha. How old are you anyway?
Older than you'll ever get to be.
His name's Moore, lady.
Whatever the heck it is.
You're thinking about Jim Morrison, which was probably you hated him.
No, I hate people like you.
Do you know how stupid you sound, Mr. Doubter?
Me? Are you listening to this lady? First of all, she says I'm stupid. Then she says she'd never seen the movie. Then she said that I was Morrison, and I said it's Moore. And then she's like, I could get into Caltech. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're too old. She goes, older than you'll ever be. Do you listen to it?
So what if I'm old? You know.
That's cool. I don't mind you
being old. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, wow. Aren't you great? That's why E.T. is your favorite movie. I think you should spend more time reading something worthwhile.
You're the reason why
there's going to the movie.
You're the reason why there's home invasions of old people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And my husband is the reason that he fought in World War II, so that idiots like you
could
expose yourself.
Oh my God! Did you hear what she said?
Yeah.
She said my husband's the reason there was World War II.
I did not say
that. How big do you think you are?
No,
she said he fought in World War II.
No, she said, and my husband's the reason there was a World War II.
She didn't say that. I said he was in World War II.
I bet you think Caltech is
the reason that you're being allowed to make a fool of yourself trying to make a fool of the president.
I bet you think that Caltech's a sci-fi channel. Yeah, yeah.
I know what Caltech is.
What's it stand for?
Oh, evidently not very much if they had you there. With that, I shall leave you, and you can go talk to
yourself.
All right.
Joyce, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Doubter saw 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. He thinks it's brilliant. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Jeff Doubter about the film 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. I have a hard time spitting that out. I don't know why. And I don't mean that in any insulting way.
Your opinion of the movie, I think, is obvious, Barry.
Well, no, wait a minute. I don't have a... I don't like Michael Moore, and I don't like his movie. You asked me if I saw the movie, and I said, yes, I have. I've seen 3 Days of the Condor, Wag the Dog, or I've seen every conspiracy movie ever. So, yes, I've seen Michael Moore's movie.
So you're saying that Michael Moore has stolen his idea about how the government is lying to us?
Stolen it? My God, man, that idea about the government lying to us has been around for more years than I care to think, man. It's been a lot, at least around as long as I've been in radio. Stolen it? Michael Moore, there's nothing original in his film, but that's fine. You don't have to be original if you're truthful. There's nothing truthful in his movie.
Okay, well, how is he lying? I saw the movie, okay?
And number one, if you saw a movie that purports to show the president screwing off during the war on terror, you're seeing a movie that is presenting a lie. The guy went on a vacation, like presidents do. This guy's been all over this freaking war, and he's taken all kinds of crap for it. Number two, if you're telling me that you're looking at a film that is telling you that President Bush, when he was flown out of Florida after the tragedy struck and is being protected by the Secret Service of the military, and he's sitting back cracking a beer and baiting a hook, if you've seen a movie that's presenting that side to a president, you're also seeing a freaking lie. The guy was at the SAC air base in Nebraska. They had to stick him underground and separate him from Cheney.
Okay, so what's your point?
What's my point? My point is, dude, you're looking at a guy's twist on the facts because he's got an agenda. He admitted the other day that he's got a personal problem with Bush.
Everybody's got a personal problem with Bush. We wouldn't be in Iraq if it wasn't on account of him. And another thing that's in the movie is they show that there's, you know, first of all, Mike Moore will prove something that we have long suspected about, that Princess Diana, you know, if we can get him to do this movie, she could have been a spy. She'd
get lost. Yeah, I'll go see the movie. 1-800-449-8686. That is Mr. Dowder, who has seen 9/11. Apparently not too many other people have seen it, I'll tell you that. It can't possibly have been seen by that many people today. Although we'll find, I'm sure in L.A. and New York and other places, in the middle of America, I don't even know if are they even going to know what the hell it is they're looking at? And I don't mean that as anything an affront to anybody in mid-America, but, you know, you actually have to have been following the story of 9/11 from the inception in order to get what it is you're going to see in this movie is utter dung. Okay, having said that, R.C. Collins and Bud Dickman are out at one of the movie showings this evening. We're going to be talking with them, and we'll just see what we can do about giving it more plug than it deserves. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And if Prince Charles was still alive, he'd want Michael Moore to find out what happened to Princess Diana, too. Anyway, we have with us a flashback from yesterday's show. Margaret Gray was on, and she was talking to us about being a landlord. She owns a lot of property, and she rents a lot of townhouses. You got to watch it with single mothers. First of all, they're going to want to put their hooks into every husband in the apartment complex. Secondly, they're going to wear out the carpeting at the front door with the parade of men coming in and out of there. Here's Margaret on renting to single mothers.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I think this lady is very disrespectful. She's on the line with a hair dryer and got nerve to judge the single women. Who, where is she coming from? And how in the world is she going to tell the woman that about pickles? She must be using a pickle herself.
You know,
number
so,
one. First now, of let me tell you something, young ladies. I'm 52 years old. I raised 4 kids up by myself, worked 4 jobs, raising them up. Never had no problem with my teenage girls.
Well,
I didn't have no problem with boys running through my house, neither man.
When you, rent...
No, let me finish talking.
Go right ahead. Do you mind if I dry my hair?
Yes, I do mind.
All right, then I won't. I'll walk out with hay hair. Thank you very much.
Well, you need to, because you disrespect the host and the other person that called before me. You disrespect them, too.
I don't remember.
Just go ahead, Jerry. You're go ahead, because you're making some good points.
Let me tell you something. I have three girls and one boy. And never one of my girls can say they have seen men in my house. I never had problems for my teenage girls bring boys in the house or either my phone ringing 24/7. I never had that problem.
It's because
I prayed and taught them the right way.
Jerry,
and I
when I was a little
your,
girl,
I would live in your, I would live in your.
Yeah.
A house town for nothing
Letter?
In the world.
Okay,
because
Jerry?
You is a slut yourself.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm a man.
Yes, you are. Because if you got a nerve to call single women those names, you're talking about yourself.
Jerry.
What's coming out your mouth, that's exactly what you are.
All right, hold on, Jerry. I want to let Margaret respond.
Jerry, I'm just going to say this. When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon.
You must well
know that I finish. Is the host there? Is the host there?
Hold on. All right, Jerry, let her finish.
When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon. It was a Daffy Duck cartoon. And he had a cousin visit from the South who was African-American. And you sound like him.
All right.
Wait, I want to tell you something.
Sounds
you
like a black Daffy Duck?
Yes. You sound worse than he does.
Jerry, because if you were that busy with two jobs and raising four kids, the Lord Almighty, I bet you were hanging around a cow tongue.
There's no way that I would get on the phone in a bathtub or disrespect the host by drying my hair while he's talking. That's so disrespectful.
No kidding.
Until
no kidding. That's a great
yourself,
point.
Then you can talk to the Sangarimas, okay?
What was Daffy Duck's black cousin named?
I think it was David Duck or something like that, or Duriel Duck.
Duriel Duck.
Yes.
Jerry,
For you to call people pythons or pick out that lady because she had a stroke, who you think you are? Are you gold or something?
Look, Jerry, I don't have the luxury of a weave. I have to dry my hair. You'll pardon
well, you must
me.
Be
I bid you adieu. There, it's dry.
Jerry, I think you've made some great points. Sorry you've been disrespected tonight. Ms. Gray, you've disrespected an awful lot of people. And
I don't see how, Phil.
Well, you have. And I think that you owe it to my listeners to at least give single women the benefit of the doubt that they have a very tough lot in life.
I have to keep drying my hair. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Frank, send me the dryer.
Anyway, as I was saying...
Oh, no, Frank, I'm in the bathtub!
Daughters?
I've lost connection to the line, Jerry. What was your question?
I was wondering, do she have daughters?
I think she only has the son.
That's her problem.
Yeah.
Because she don't have daughters to love.
This is
true. She just...
well, I don't know who she's loving now. I thought I just heard
I'm quite sure. I'm quite sure the way she's talking.
Yeah.
She must be was talking about herself, about the pickles and stuff, because that was so disrespectful.
Well, it was absolutely disgusting. Yes, Ms. Gray?
I just want to ask Jerry, before you go, hold your cheeks back and say I was born on a pirate ship.
You must work, God, and say you were born on a pirate ship.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Man, that's the funniest bit that I had no idea what anybody was saying that I've ever heard in my life. God, I didn't know what that lady was saying, but it was a beautiful thing. There's Bobby and Jerry, and all I heard was cow tongue, pirate ship. I mean, what's up with the... What's up with America? That's from yesterday's show, Margaret Gray and a caller of ours named Jerry on single mothers. Let's see. What, Duriel Duck? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Our website is www.philhenryshow.com. You can grab some fantastic gifts in our souvenir shop at our website. Anything from our Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch, like a watch that hangs off of the belt, to the Citizens Auxiliary Police caps or jackets. Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirts, both the classic original and the one celebrating the new Ted's Beverly Hills in Honolulu. We also have the Western Estates Homeowners Association tote bag and spa robe. We have shot glasses in the Phil Henry store. We got, in other words, a real quality lineup of products, including a cooler with an AM/FM radio that's detachable. This is a vinyl cooler that you can carry sandwiches and drinks in down to the beach, and it has a radio attached to it, an AM/FM radio that you can zip on or off, whatever you want to do. We also have a garden set. Check that out. You can sit down on your dead can. You can, you know, pull some weeds, drink a beer, maybe drink three beers, then pull another weed, drink another three beers, pull another weed, and then you're done. And so you go out and do your gardening. It's the Phil Henry Show Gardening Kit. Huh? Have you ever heard of any radio station or any radio show giving away something like that? And then you go to the archives, and we've got comedy on our archives from this radio show, not other people's comedy, ours, that goes back 10 years. What other radio show can say that? We've got a 30-day archive of all of our shows, and when you actually go back and listen to our archive shows, you're actually hearing something original and entertaining. You're not just listening to some swill that you could get, what? I mean, you could sit and stare into the mirror and talk into your comb and get better commentary on things. What other show could say that? But do I have a movie? No. Do I have a TV show? No. Do I have a book? No. I'm through. I quit. Remember, it's www.philhenryshow.com. So anyway, today President Bush was in Ireland, and it's almost de rigueur now for the president of the United States, because we treat him with such utter disrespect now. I mean, it's one thing to say a guy's wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're making mistakes, you're making mistakes. But calling the man a liar, saying that he was in cahoots with the Bin Laden family, saying that the guy is a profiteer, making the most scurrilous comments about an individual. This is a human being. He's not only our president. He's a man who, if he's wrong, he's wrong. He'll get voted out of office. But to call a guy a liar and a scofflaw and a criminal, and we do it so repeatedly in this country now, that the Irish and other Europeans, as you know, they've taken up. See, it's kind of like, remember when I used to say, America's the adult country, all the other countries the little children. I've used this example many times, and it was proven yet again, because the kids follow the example of the adults. And now the little kids over in Ireland have decided, well, hey, we can crap all over them too. So President Bush went over to Ireland, and why was he there? He was trying to enlist the aid of NATO in helping secure Iraq. Well, God, we can't do that, can we? No, we don't want to have NATO to help us secure Iraq. That would mean it might be peaceful and maybe kids could go to school and maybe those people over there would have a fighting chance at a country. No. We can't have that. We must have Saddam Hussein back in power. Yes, we must. Biggest mistake we ever made going into Iraq. So no, NATO won't help us. The UN won't help us. The president's going around the world with his hat in his freaking hand. And while he's over in Ireland, some Irish bitch from a TV station decides she's going to squat over him and let one go. Some bitch over there by the name of Carol Coleman, wouldn't even let the man, the president of the United States, and you know, he's not the president of Ireland, I understand that, but he is our president, and of course, the way we treat him, why wouldn't the Irish or the rest of those freaks treat him the same way? So this bitch is asking him questions, and he keeps saying, let me finish, please, let me finish. And by the way, if you're objecting to the use of my word bitch, that's too bad. Why don't you complain to the FCC? Because that's exactly what she is. Exactly what she is. You want me to spell it for you, too? Why don't you write a letter to the FCC on that one? This Irish bitch by the name of Carol Coleman wouldn't allow the president the common courtesy to answer a question. May I finish, he said. Let me finish, please. Let me finish. Please let me finish. Please. If you ask me a question, I'll answer them if you don't mind, he kept saying, in a second interruption. The two pleadings were followed by three more during an 11-minute exchange in advance of Bush's trip to Ireland, where he was to attend a summit meeting. So this is the method, ladies and gentlemen. Don't make any mistake. Ask a man a question. Do not allow him to finish. That way he sounds confused. Because if you interrupt someone in the middle of their answer, they sound, you know, it's, believe me, as a person who's been involved in the media and who knows all about what is, the idea it's not a mirage, but we use it. It's called, it's for instance, if your mind picks up something that isn't there. I can't even think of the word. Bud, do you know the word?
Cartoon?
No, it ain't cartoon, man, but thank you for helping. I mean, I don't know what the word is.
Jesus, you're right in the middle of a great rant. I'm out here.
All right, shut up. Huh? No, not a mirage. It's a, in any event. If you interrupt somebody in the middle of their answer, they sound confused because they didn't get to answer, and now they're on to another answer that they have to give, and that's the method. If you're a lousy interview like this bitch obviously is in Ireland, what you do is just ask a lot of questions that are at once insulting, can't possibly be answered in 3 seconds, and also infer a lot of things. And when the president isn't given the time to answer them, get on to the next question, next question, next question, and show him utter discourtesy. Why not? The American people do. And today I was talking to Janice about this. I said, you know, maybe it's going to be, there'll be a backlash. You know, maybe finally people are going to say, you know, have a little common courtesy and decency, at least hear the man out. And rather than call him a liar, let's take a look at some of the things that we do know. They're on the record. If anybody cares to read them. If anyone cares to read the record, you will see that the things that are said with reference to 9/11 and the so-called, the accessory of the White House is utterly absurd, unless you want to indict the Clinton administration too. But this is where the argument falls apart, because they don't want to do that, because it's a political campaign, folks. It's a political campaign. It has nothing to do with truth. It's a political campaign. They want to get rid of the president. And I say this as a Democrat. I'm disgusted. I won't vote for Kerry now, just on principle. I may not vote for Bush, but I damn sure won't vote for Kerry. You lost my vote, because if my party is so desperate and hasn't got one finger on the pulse of the truth in this situation, I don't want to have anything to do with you bastards, okay? So you go ahead and run, Kerry, and any other loser you want to stick with him, and I'll just, if you don't mind, go fishing. Reporter Carol Coleman: President Bush attempted to defend the invasion of Iraq and denied the contention the world was more dangerous because of it. This broad said to him, "Do you really think the world is more safe?" This is some broad living in Ireland. Ireland! They pretty much wrote the book on terrorism in that country when it comes to Western European countries. They got a bomb rolling into a pub every day over there, at least they used to. And now she's worried about the safety of the world? I can sit down in a bar room in my country, lady, and be fairly assured that no one's going to roll a freaking bomb into it. I can go to a department store in my country and risk fairly assured that no one's going to park a car in front of it and blow it up. Why is that? Because I got a president that gives a crap. You make me ashamed that somebody in my family told me once that I was Irish. You know what? I don't care. I'm an American. But today, I wouldn't be. I agree with Daniel Day-Lewis in that movie, Gangs of New York, that on the seventh day, God squatted and out came Ireland. I'm joking. Well, I'm not joking. He actually said that, but... Man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a news story might interest you. Britney Spears. Britney Spears, the American singing star, is apparently shown in two of several photographs found by U.S. forces working in Afghanistan as part of an operation dismantling terror training camps in an area of Afghanistan called the Khodar Hills. Britney Spears is apparently shown in two of several photographs found by U.S. forces working in an area called the Khodar Hills, dismantling terror training camps. The photographs showing a number of apparent al-Qaeda recruits shows Spears exercising, holding a weapon, and sitting at a table with other members of the camp. Now, a Spears record company spokesman said, quote, "The photos are quite obviously some kind of a hoax. The photographs were found amid a cache of other materials, including ammunition, foodstuffs, and clothing." A U.S. military spokesman would not comment on the authenticity of the photos, but a Staff Sergeant Ernest Winch of the Army's Office of Communications said, "According to our guys, it was Britney Spears or someone who looks very much like her training with al-Qaeda." He would not comment on why an American or European female would be in Afghanistan at a terror training camp. I'll tell you right now, I think it was her. And I think she's got some answers to come up with. I think she's got some explaining to do. I'm getting a little sick and tired of these American pop stars going out, recording an album, then flying to Afghanistan and learning how to blow up buildings. I'm getting sick of it. Now, do one or the other. You can't do both, okay? It's a obvious skirting of the income tax laws. You can't go out and have your recording deal and still find time to blow up ships and people. Stop it. The rest of us got to work for a living. You guys, just because you want to find the big tax loophole, well, I can make a couple extra bucks meeting with some guy in Prague and then, you know, lighting my shoes on fire on a transatlantic jet. No, Miss Spears. You don't get to do that. Now, Janice, my producer, was saying something before the show that I thought was very interesting. Listen to this. Mel Gibson makes a movie about Jesus Christ, some guy that lived 2,000 years ago, and everybody is ready to rip his ass six ways to sunset about how phony baloney it is, right? I mean, this, how dare he say that Jesus might have been 6'1"? And how does he know that the Jews were this and that and something else? Right? Everybody is weighing in on Jesus, some cat that we can barely know even if he lived 2,000 years ago, and everybody's an expert on how Gibson screwed the whole historical record up. Michael Moore squats and drops something out of his rear end called Fahrenheit 9/11, and everybody, even though we were all there 2.5 years ago, we're ready to just say, wow, is that how it was? Wait a second, man, I was there. No, that ain't how it was. Let me be one of the people saying, that ain't how it was. 2.5 years ago, we were all there. And this guy drops one out of his rear end called Fahrenheit 9/11, doesn't even bother to wipe, puts it in the movie theaters. And then he won't even do what he says he would do, debate the merits of the film. He won't do it. He's backed away from every real honest debate or honest question about his movie. Meanwhile, Mel Gibson comes out with that Passions of the Christ. I thought the movie was great. I mean, you know, what am I going to say? It's wrong? I don't know what the hell's right or wrong about it. It's just, it's cool. It was a good movie, and I don't think it made Jews look bad at all. I thought there were a lot of Jewish folks represented in that movie that were agonizing about Jesus, and they were agonizing about how the man was being treated. It explains very clearly that he himself was Jewish. I don't know, you know, what are they talking about? Why? Because the guys that sentenced him to death happened to be the high priest? That Pontius Pilate was no way. He wasn't any dream come true. That wop standing there washing his hands of the man's blood, and then he goes off and cries in his wife's skirts. Claudia, I don't know if what I do is the right thing. Oh, you get out of here with that freaking Italian accent of yours, man. What is this? Satyricon Part 8? All those Italian actors look funny anyway, that bald freaking head. I don't think it made them look too good. Anyway, it's a good flick, right? Out comes 9/11, and every mental case in Hollywood, every dumbass that Moore can pack into a movie theater who's done a, you know, a reality show on TV, they're all film professionals, and they're all like, hey, marvelous. We're at a point now in history, ladies and gentlemen, where we don't want to trust our own instincts and what we know. We would rather have some guy tell us what it was that we saw with our own eyes and experience, with our own sensations, with our own senses, with our own feelings. He's going to explain to us exactly what happened because we don't want to trust what we saw. We don't want to believe that it actually happened. We don't even want to approach the subject of what really happened. We want some guy to retranslate it into a real fairy, some kind of a fairy godmother bedtime story for us, where it's all somebody else's fault, where it's all this big bad guy in Washington's fault. When that kid asked me last hour, have you seen the Michael Moore movie? What's the difference, man? I saw Wag the Freaking Dog, dig? Just another movie about how the government's sticking one up there, man, busting it off, sticking it up the giggy with a Wawa brush, man. Just another one of those movies about how Big Brother is watching you, or, hey, you know what? Big Brother might be watching you, but he sure don't like what he sees. And when it comes to Michael Moore, Big Brother would rather not be watching, especially during bath time. Big Brother is watching, except for you, Michael. Man, you got to get some clothes on. More fat jokes coming up on The Phil Henry Show. All right, coming up tonight, we have a Art Bell visit again. General Johnson, James, are you guys ready for this one? They're building an elevator to space. Honest to God, they want to build an elevator to space. Now, understand, this is fascinating, and if you hear the theory behind it, it's unbelievable that this can be built, and certainly no one, H.G. Wells, Julius Verne, what's his name? Is that the guy's name? Julius Verne played ball for the Sixers. Dr. Julius Verne. They called him Dr. J, Dr. Jules Verne.
Say, Dr. J, I'm feeling kind of shaky, man.
Why don't you use chapstick? Now, check this out. This is what, honest to God, they're going to do this. What you do, and what they're proposing to do, is to put a platform, a large floating platform, in the ocean at the equator, where the weather apparently is at its most equanimous, where it is not a difficult situation weather-wise. Now, from that platform is launched, and they can use a variety of rockets, a cable that is made of a high-density kind of material, a high-density kind of atomic material that is no wider than a sheet of paper, if you're ready for this, but is many, many more times stronger than steel. And I can give you the technical name of the material, but nonetheless, this cable is launched into space and is anchored there by a large floating tether, much like any kind of an anchor, or Moore, as in Michael Moore, as in very heavy. I'm kidding, but you know what I'm saying, like a mooring, a ship mooring? Okay. Now, this ship's mooring, so to speak, is floating in space. Tethered to it is this line that reaches all the way through the Earth's atmosphere to this floating platform. And as the Earth rotates, that's what keeps the line taut. Because it's almost, I guess, sort of dragging this very heavy thing, which actually has no weight in space. Things have no weight in space, but it's keeps the line at a constant angle as the Earth rotates. So this thing is taut 62 miles. 62,000 miles, 62,000 miles into space. Now, why? On this line can be attached some kind of an elevator. And in this elevator, heavy materials can be placed and transported back and forth from space as we construct whatever we may construct. Space platforms, telescopes, perhaps even spaceships. This was talked about at NASA today, and it is, dig this, way more cost-effective than any shuttle program. And they're thinking of building this. It can get us to the moon sooner than President Bush was talking about a return to the moon by 2020. We can get to the moon, 10 years sooner with this space elevator. Now, General Johnson Jameson and Art Bell will be on to talk about it. And to demonstrate a prototype when we come back. It's an amazing story. And one, like I said, that no one could possibly have foreseen, not even that great prognosticator, Julius Irving. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. If you're east of the Rockies, forget it. And now here's Art Bell.
Thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and a very good evening from the planet Earth to all colonies in space. To any friendlies orbiting our Earth or are in direct radio transmission traffic with us, a very pleasant good morning or good evening wherever you are here on the Earth or in colonies out in space and things that people do today. And a very good morning. And we have with us this evening General Johnson Jameson, and this is going to be... this is going to be something else. We often talk on this program about what it will be like in the future. Did you ever think, did you ever imagine that the Earth would be a launching place for a space...
Well, will you come on and say it?
Elevator. Sorry, Ross.
Jesus.
I have on the line now from his bunker beneath the Saskatchewan crust with his assistant, Igor. It is General Johnson James. A very pleasant good morning to you, General Johnson. What an exciting day, huh?
Absolutely. All right, I haven't been this excited in a long, long... Not since I bought the new Bill Dance lure have I really felt a new, amazing technology had fallen into my hands. And Igor is with me.
Man, it's a good thing.
Yes, it is, Igor. We are going to launch a prototype of this space elevator.
Now, before you do that, General Jameson, can you tell the audience, the people at home and the people listening, wherever they are, in cars, on space stations...
Yeah. Get on with it.
Can you tell them how this would work?
General... did I call you General? You're Art.
I'm Art.
Well, General Art...
No, I'm just Art Bell, and you're General...
I'm General James, yeah. Art, the cable would be attached to a platform at the equator off the Pacific coast of South America. The winds are calm, the weather is good, and commercial airplane flights are few. The platform would be mobile, so the cable could be moved to get out of the path of orbiting satellites. Now, the elevator would be powered by photocells. What are you doing, Igor?
I'm just pressing the buttons.
Just don't touch anything right now. He's having fun. He can't wait to get going.
As I understand it, you've built a prototype of this space elevator.
That is correct, yes.
Can you tell me what the cable itself is made out of?
Yes, the cable is made of nanotubes. These are tiny bundles of carbon atoms that are many times stronger than steel. The cable would be about 3 feet wide. Actually, thinner, Art, than a piece of paper.
That is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's real different.
All right, just don't touch anything. Yes, and it's many times stronger than steel. It is capable of supporting up to 13 tons.
And tonight, on our program, you and Igor are going to get into the prototype space elevator.
Yes, we are. We have constructed a prototype using, as you know, my own private launch pad here in Saskatchewan. I've been able to launch cabling up to around 10,000 feet. Now, this is in ionospheric contact, certainly not subspace, but I think it is decent enough. Igor, are you ready to go?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
All right. We're going to climb into the elevator now.
Now, I want you to be very, very careful, General Jameson. This is an amazing thing. Will the elevator carry you all 10,000 feet?
We will attempt to ascend 10,000 feet. We do have it tethered, as I say, in an ionospheric phase. We feel the tethering there will be certainly substantial, but we will not gain the heights that we would with the regular NASA elevator.
All right, go right ahead.
All right, Igor. Now, we are closing the door to the elevator now, Art. Push... Oh, I don't know. Mezzanine.
What do you mean, mezzanine?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Push up.
Okay, man.
Igor is now pushing up. The elevator has closed.
I think I heard it engage, General.
That's right. You did hear the laser engage. We are using photonic cells, Art, so this is all powered by the solar energy of the sun. And we are now enclosed in the elevator and rising below, rising up, and I can see below me now the Earth falling away. Very exciting, isn't it, Igor?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we are moving up, Art, and as we do rise into space, I can certainly now begin to see the faint mists and the beauty of the Earth below. There is nothing more majestic, I think, than just looking at the Earth.
You're sounding emotional.
I really am. I've just... We are rising now thousands of feet. All right, take it down.
What happened?
Never mind, take it down. Take it down. Yeah! Take the damn thing down.
I'm sorry, General James, what happened?
What do you... Well, what does it sound like? Take it down. Push down and let's go. God!
Oh, God!
General Damison, have you had to abort?
Yeah, you might say that. Take it down, man. God, Igor. Oh, baby. Subway sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's bad, dude. What is that, egg salad? Jeez.
General Jameson, what,
Well, all right, let me just say this. One thing you can't do, either in a space elevator or any elevator, is cut one. I'm in this thing for 10,000 feet. What do you want me to do? My freaking eye, I just had brand new laser surgery, okay? And the way my eyes are watering right now, I may be blind by the time we get to Earth.
Thanks a lot. I had that macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that's it.
Must be the elevation.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, am I to understand, General Jameson, that you are now coming back to Earth?
We have to, aren't you? I can't stand the stench of it. Oh, God, the humanity.
This has been Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Who died?
Sorry, man. Sorry.
isn't that fun? That's Art Bell. Hold on for a minute. Yes?
Oh, so now we're resorting to fart humor, is that it?
Oh, come on, man. It was a story about an elevator.
So what's that got to do with fart humor?
Well, what's the one thing people fear in an elevator? And you're talking about a space elevator, so I was trying to...
Oh, I get it. Wait a minute. It's a little bit of Phil Henry satire, is that it? You're trying to apply a regular human condition to a...
Well, you get to belch, huh?
Yes, I'm the boss. You're trying to apply a human condition to a extra human effort, is that it? It's a moment of, what do you call it? Art? Look, Phil, the FCC has dusted off the hot seat for me! What are you trying to do?
That's not FCC. That's not finable, man. I can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Since when is fart humor not cool, man? I mean, it's the one equalizing thing that we do as human beings. It's the one thing that reminds us that we're all human beings. You can be Princess Diana. You can be the Sultan of Brunei, man. You still got a fart. I happen to think that it's a very important thing to remind people of.
Oh, my God. You're actually trying to make a point. You're actually trying to justify that sophomoric display.
Yes, I am, and I think I have.
Okay.
1-800-449-86... Thank you. He doesn't usually give in like that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, I thought this was pretty interesting because I haven't heard anything more about this guy. Did you hear the story? I decided I'd sort of let this one, I just let this one sit in the refrigerator without a lid on it to see how it would smell in a few days. Let's just put it that way. That's how we see our stories around here, just items in the refrigerator that we keep around without the lid on. And guess what? I just pulled it out of the news icebox this morning, and it smells like freaking clam dip. Did you hear this story? Anonymous CIA official takes aim at Bush's war on terror. You heard about that, didn't you? June 23rd. Anonymous CIA official. This guy, who supposedly works for the CIA, wrote a book, and in it are some of the most shocking revelations you've ever heard in your life. In fact, they're so shocking that he can't even use his name. Listen to what he says. He says that the war in Iraq has played into bin Laden's hands, fostering further hatred of America. I've never heard that before. That's such an original take. Wow. Then he says, one of the most evil and brutal regimes in history no longer exists. However, Bin Laden is in the Islamic mainstream, and he predicts the war on terror will most likely be fought on American soil. And then he goes on to say things like, he slams the war in Iraq, calling it an avaricious, premeditated, unprovoked war against a foe who posed no immediate threat. You know, it's not often you get to hear an original point of view like that. The guy must have risked everything to write such amazing stuff. America went to war against a country that posed no threat. Now, let me see. Where have I heard that before? Well, other than the fact that about 9 million other guys have said it, nowhere. He slammed the war in Iraq, calling it avaricious and premeditated. Boy, I haven't heard that one either. He said also, we have not yet appreciated the dimension of the problem or the size of the problem. This cat had to be, like, anonymous to write this drivel? Anybody going to read this garbage? This is so utterly and completely funny to me that I honestly believe the CIA has planted this story. Honest to God. First of all, why would the CIA allow a current employee to write a book slamming the Bush administration policy in the Middle East unless there was some sort of a disinformation intent? Why would they allow him to write the book? It says here they allowed him to write the book so long as he published it as anonymous. What? Yeah, there you go, man. Okay. I got a great idea for you cats at the CIA. You can make this a part of your policy. While you work for us, you don't get to publish any books. How about that? Oh, you mean you haven't thought of that? Well, there you go. Oh, you mean you have, but you went ahead and let this guy do it anyway because it's not what it seems? That's probably the case. Well, sure enough, this story was June 23rd. Now, today is what? This would be a little bit of a firestorm. I mean, people are just grabbing and running with any story they possibly can that comes from any sort of credible source slamming the war in Iraq. Now, if anything comes out that supports President Bush's take on a war in Iraq or his operation there, of course, we don't hear anything about that. I got to come on here and tell you guys about it. Like, for instance, did you know today it was reported that American military have found papers in Iraq showing collusion between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden in an attempt to topple the Saudi government as early as 1995, okay? Well, you're not going to hear about that, because why would they want to tell you that? That kind of goes against the whole, you know, the chest beating all these guys do. Oh, we were lied to. They told us to report that it was a really good war, and it turned out to be lousy, and now we look really stupid. Well, guess what? Now we're going to just do everything we can to make everything look good. Look. Just pick up your briefcase and get out of here, okay? You're fired.
I don't care.
I can have you doing anything at this paper, but sniveling here in my office.
Well, I just want to write it.
All right, you don't have to write it anymore. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get out of here! Why would anybody want to tell you that? Why would anybody want to tell you things like the Clinton administration had intelligence that Saddam and Osama were doing? Well, you don't want to hear about that, do you? You don't want to hear that? No, there's too many other exciting things going on. Bush is a liar, and the CIA is now printing books about how he's a liar, and there are even, like, government employees who are allowed to write these books, if they're not using their name, that say the unbelievably original statement, making unbelievably original statements such as, you know, it's a foe who didn't pose an immediate threat. It's a scathing indictment of the United States and how it fights its war on terror. It says the author also disagrees with the central premise of U.S. policy. Gee, I guess he would. We need to face the fact that Muslims are angry at us, not because of who we are, not because we vote, not because women go to school, but because of what we do in the world. Who is going to spend $29.95 for the hardcover of this garbage? I won't even wait for the paperback to come out. Are you kidding me? I can just read the freaking paper every day, man. There's somebody saying this stuff every day in the paper. Is this guy kidding or what? Who are you cats at the CIA? Now, what's this, Operation Bullcrap? Huh? Are you trying to spread a little disinformation to try to get us off the scent of the real culprit, Martha Stewart? What's going on? Within the intelligence community, Anonymous has both supporters and detractors. His detractors note he was removed from the hunt for bin Laden, perhaps freeing up his time to write a book. It's a beautiful world we live in, and it's a great country, too. Man, you can just be so full of it. Your eyes are freaking brown, brother. And you can write a book. You can do anything you want. Make a movie. Do a talk show. Coming up on our show tonight, David Lee Roth is going to be an EMT. You heard me right. We also have a flashback featuring Bobby Dooley. And whatever her problem was, the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates. The Kobe trial, we have some news about that. Apparently, there's more leaking, and it's beginning to show on their slacks. We also have I guess I should tell you about this now. What is it with you people in Minnesota? I know that we have an affiliate in St. Paul sometimes, you know, like whenever they feel like running the show. I don't know how it works. They got another terrorist in Minnesota. Now, you people up there might want to get your heads and your asses wired a little bit closer together on what's going on with this terrorist stuff. This is number two, another guy that is allegedly linked to the 9/11 plot. It's making me start to wonder about all you people up there in Minnesota. What's the story, huh? Hey, why don't you lay a little less of that Minnesota nice and a little bit more what you guys used to lay on me when I was up there, that Minnesota rude. I would love that. Minnesota nice. I was up there for a year, and I tell you right now, I had great listeners, but just the general business community up there, the advertisers on my show and the radio station I worked at, the rudest human beings I ever met in my life. What is all this stuff about how they're so sweet and nice up there in Minnesota? Those Norwegians, they'll cut your throat for a farthing. They'll cut your throat from ear to ear for a brass farthing. And now they got terrorists up there, man. Every time you open up a newspaper, another terrorist is arrested in Minnesota. Look, just because you cats feel guilty that you're white and, you know, you've got a big fat farm with lots of steer and sheep and milk and lutefisk and all the stuff that you love, doesn't mean that you got to bring in every dude with a rag on his head and try to convert him to the ways of the Swedes. Cat ain't going to want to do that. I mean, he's going to smile in your face and go, thank you very much for showing me where the bok chow is. That's really great. And he's going to go off to flying school. First you elect Jesse Ventura, then you got these nutcases running around. What's next, man, huh? Vikings going to win a Super Bowl? Holy God! I swear to God, I saw the story. He says, well, the FBI was arrested. Minnesota again! See, when I was up there in St. Paul, you know, to the credit of the people who live there, following the Vietnam War, like here in California, they took in a lot of Cambodian. In Minnesota, a lot of Cambodian people live in Minnesota. You don't know this, but there's a lot of farmers, the outlying agricultural areas, they're owned by Cambodian farmers. Like here in California, we have a lot of Vietnamese. And Minnesota is a place where the Democratic Party up there isn't just called the Democratic Party. It's called the Democratic Farm and Labor Party. Have you ever heard of this? See, they got their own thing up there, baby. They're not just Democrats. They're Democrats, farmers, and laborers. It's the DFL. When you're in Minnesota and you hear them talk about, they don't say the Democratic Party, they say DFL. Like Paul Wellstone. He wasn't just a Democrat, he was DFL. The other side of that is the Republicans up there are not called Republicans. They're called independent Republicans because they wanted to distance themselves from the Watergate mess. So when you read of IR, they're talking independent Republican, and when you read of DFL, the Democrat Farm and Labor Party. They're very strong union state, and all of those things I applaud. I applaud all of them. But you don't want to let your, want to let your brains go soft on you, man, just because you got the milk of human kindness running through your blood, and you got every kind of raghead running around there. And, you know, he's passing himself off as a Swedish Pillsbury salesman. And meanwhile, a guy has got hair about as black as the inside of a cow, and he says he's from Stockholm. Come on! Minnesota, one more, baby, and we're selling you to Canada. You understand how it works, right? You had that Massawi piece of garbage, now this other raghead. One more, and we're selling you to Canada. Three-strike law. Three strikes and you're out. You're just going to be another Manitoba. Minnesota, Manitoba, what the heck's the difference? And it'll just be this big hole there in the northern border. Americans are just, dip right down to Iowa, man. Pull it together over there, man. You and that Kathleen Salaya. What was her name? Betty Mae Olson or something? Susie Mae Crockett? Betty Crocker? She's lived up there for like 30 years with the name Betty freaking Crocker, and all those people up there are like, well, I guess it's time for the bake-off. I didn't know that you liked to cook. No, not much. My name's Betty freaking Crocker.
Well, that's... Oh, I get the connection now.
Jeez. Are you Betty Crocker? Yes, I am. FBI, you're under arrest. What are you kidding with that? Well, I thought you wouldn't find out I was living here. I wouldn't find out, huh? I look in the phone book, I find Betty Crocker's living up here, okay? They change your name to something else. Well, I thought it sounded Norwegian. Norwegian is Olsen and Nordstrom and stuff like that, you know? Nordstrom, Macy, something like that. Give me a name like Betty Crocker. What's your husband's name? Davey. Okay. That Kathleen Salaya ran up there, man, after she tried to butcher up two L.A. cops. And she's living the life up there. You cats up there in Minnesota, you know, don't make me come up there and be on the radio again full time. Because I'll do it. I'll do it and I'll regret it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On our show yesterday, Bobby Dooley, who is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, came on to say that it's been a very rough year for her. It was the anniversary last week of her son's death in an automobile accident. She was thinking of her son as she was pulling out of a shopping plaza very recently, and a woman in a red Mercedes did some sort of traffic infraction in front of her that made her angry. She followed the woman and keyed the woman's car while the lady was in a store. She keyed it all the way around, scratching the paint on this red Mercedes. And her excuse is, well, her son died, and anybody that drives a red Mercedes convertible with blonde hair has got to be a slut.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to the young lady that we should not take the law into our own hands, that a threat to someone's life in Texas would be a felony, which is a penitentiary offense. Threats to on airplanes or to the president are real serious matters these days.
No, I didn't threaten the president or
no, no, no. I just
airplane.
Say that is a serious, even more serious. That, but to threaten a person's life, not even to touch them, just a word can cause you to be in a third degree felony to a penitentiary. Now,
well, here's the thing,
we
have
to trust in divine retribution and not take the retribution into our own hands.
I've seen that.
Excuse me?
So I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I was saying that we have to trust in...
I started to key women's cars when I was about 16.
Yeah,
see, when a whore walks out...
You keyed it how long ago when you were 16?
Yeah.
I thought you did it recently.
No, I did do it.
Wait a minute. Is this not the first time you've keyed a car?
No. The point I'm trying to make to Eileen is this is a new day of liberated women.
Oh, women.
Oh,
we've always been liberated, honey. You just didn't
Eileen. When the whore walks out and sees the scratches on her car, she knows she's not going to take your man.
Madam, you better watch who you're calling names because there is such a thing as...
As any blonde that drives a red Mercedes-Benz, I can tell you, is a...
He's a rich
sharing whore.
Well, wait,
he's
just
a rich,
minute.
He doesn't have to be the other word.
That's exactly right. You know what I'd like to know from you?
I've had Thunderbirds and other cars, and I have to be a Christian mother.
I
would resent someone judging me on the type of automobile
well,
I drove.
Well, a Thunderbird is quite different from a Mercedes-Benz. But let me just say this. When I saw that woman, and I knew that my son had died a year ago, I decided to take a handful of dirt and put it into her gas tank. And let me tell you why. When you're 16...
Did you do that too, plus keying the vehicle, or... knifing it or whatever you want to say.
Yes, I did. Well, look, Eileen,
you did
when
both
you were,
of those things?
When you were 16.
Ma'am, you know what that is?
What?
Excuse me for interrupting, but that's pure D vandalism.
No, it is not. Look, when you were 16, Eileen, you had to go out and key a horse.
Do what to a horse?
Didn't you key horses back in your day?
No, ma'am. I owned one, and I treated it nicely and paid the stable to keep it.
But let's say you didn't make a turn signal on your horse on the trail.
I'm afraid he didn't have any, my dear.
Well, what did you do?
He was not electronic. He was a real...
No, no, but did you use hand signals on horses so that when you're going down the trail...
And this is ridiculous, ma'am. You don't need... You got horsepower, but not horses.
I understand
that. The turn signals are in vogue since the electronic automobile.
No,
horses came
that,
a long time before Mr. Ford invented the automobile.
I understand that, but when you were riding a horse down the trail and there were horses behind you or some were coming inbound, did you use a hand signal to let the other horses know?
Ma'am, you never heard of such a thing as a hand signal on a horse. You had one hand on the bridle and, mm-hmm. and probably the other with the whip or whatever.
All right, I'm not familiar with horses, so you didn't
use No, but you tried. We're talking
well,
horses
and what about
and
if
horse
you wanted
power.
To turn and there was another horse coming inbound?
Ma'am, where'd you get on horses?
You mentioned that you used to own horses.
Yeah, but you brought up horses.
Well, no, but I'm saying, yes, I brought up horses because I said you can't key a horse. And I'm wondering, you said, well, you owned a horse. And so, well, that's interesting because when you are traveling outbound on a horse and there's
you can brand a horse
traffic,
if you don't go around keying them. I think you would that would be mistreating abuse to an animal.
Oh, I see. So searing it with a hot iron, that's okay, but keying it's abuse.
They do brand
Jesus.
Them.
Jesus.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Notice how Bobby's voice changes there when she gets a little shocked. Yeah, no kidding, man. They didn't key horses, dude. They branded them. Branded. Dun, 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 dun. All right, coming up, news of Kobe. Michael Pittman of the National Football League has been suspended and a whole bunch of other phony baloney stuff, including RC and Bud at the 9/11 movie. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we've got RC and Bud. They're at the 9/11 movie, and we'll find out about what's happening with those guys. We'd like to tell you our web address is www.philhenryshow.com, and if you'd like to email us, phs@philhenryshow.com. Have you heard the latest? You know what the kids are into now? You know what my kid told us about today? And he figures he can make $1,000 a month on this. Now listen to this. My second oldest son, swear to God, who is the genius of the family. The guy's growing a beard now. It's the summer. I said, yeah, you can grow a beard, dude. It's fine. Because you know what? I don't have a thing with the way a kid looks. He's pulling the grades. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I don't give a crap if he paints his face blue, sticks a bone in his nose, and barks at the moon and bangs a gong talking to his ancestors. Fine with me. So he's got a beard going for the summer. Anyway, he says, yeah, you can buy the rights to certain characters. You can earn the rights to certain characters in video games if you reach a certain score. I said, what? He said, yeah, the video game, you buy the video game, right? Then you play the video game. Okay, then if you hit a certain level, if you get a certain score, you can own the rights to that character. Own them. I said, then what do you do? I mean, do you have the marketing rights? He said, well, I don't know about that, but you can sell the character then off to other kids. He says, I figure I can make about $1,000 a month. Selling the character to another kid, yeah. I can play this video game. Now, I don't know what game it is. And there's so many that are out now. And I'm trying to think of the game the guys are into right now. They're really into that Tiger Woods EA Sports Tiger Woods game. I always see them playing that golf game, but this is some other game. I don't know what it is. But you're playing it, and you know how you hit levels. You get to a certain level, you conquer this character, you now own it. Now, if another kid wants to buy that character, he can buy it off of you. I guess you do it through PayPal and eBay. I don't know how you do it. I said, oh, wait a second. Just hold on a second here. What do you mean $1,000 a month? If what you're telling me is true, you'd own the marketing rights to this thing. You'd own the merchandising rights.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, find out! You're not selling it for $1,000 a month, man. If you can play a video game, this is a mind blower to me. But hey, why should I not expect, you know, this is America, baby. The sky's the limit. You can now make money playing a video game. I suppose it's a form of competition, right? Baseball, basketball, football, hockey. All of these are games that one can earn money at. This is the new way of earning money at a game. There is a market for this, where you play the game to a level, develop your mastery over this particular character, then some other kid wants to buy the character off of you, fine, you sell that, I don't know for how much, then you play another game, you play another character, you get up to a level on him, you own him, you sell him. My son thinks that there's a market for this. He's researched it. This is his new business. You know, I said to him, why don't you get involved with your mom this summer? Because my wife's really involved. Maria is going nuts in real estate right now. She's going hog wild. I'm telling you, I'm not going to say where and I'm not going to say how because I don't want to jinx it. But if things go the way I think they're going to go, I'm out of this business in 2 years. I'm kidding. I will never leave radio. It's just so great. Yeah, sure. No, it's really fun. I like it. I love this business. I just don't like some of the people I got to work with. Now, so Maria's like going crazy with the real estate. I said, hey, man, why don't you help your mother this summer? You can help her with identifying properties. You can help her with the paperwork on bank loans. You can help her with setting up vendors so that the repairs can be made on certain properties. And he said, yeah, that's okay, but I can play a video game and they can have an event. I'm like, huh? Well, this old-fashioned, well, when I was a boy, I had the paper route. That stuff don't play at all, man. Why? Who did I think I was kidding when I'm going to bring up this stuff? Why don't you go mow a lawn? Uh-huh. Mow a lawn? Hey, you can go out and mow a lawn for a whole $5 an hour. Yeah, that's great, Phil. Anyway, as I was saying, I can make $1,000 a month playing a video game. And I'm going, tell you what, why don't you tell me how you're doing that? I'd like to do it, too. You love that? So I'm going to go home tonight, and I figure the guys are still going to be up playing games because it's summer, and we let them stay up till all hours. Here's my deal with these guys, by the way, in the summertime. Here's the deal. You went to school. You did good. All three of the boys did good. The little girl, she did great, too. I mean, the kids are really, they pulled it this year. One of the kids was ready to almost flunk out, and we really put the we put a branding iron to his rear end, man. We keyed his horse on that one, and he finally got it going, and he just made it by the hair of his chinny chin chin. So everything's beautiful this summer. I said, okay, cool. You guys did a great job this year, so kick it. Do what you need. But every now and again, I'm going to be coming to the table with a couple of chores, things that I need for you to do. Like, maybe would you like to get into that car we bought you and go down and buy cat food, because there's a cat walking around here looking like he just walked out of Auschwitz. Jesus, what is it with you guys? It's your pet cat. Poor thing is just all weak and thin. Bones sticking out of the cat, just meow. What are you guys feed the cat?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was somebody else's job.
You come in. See, there's just a revulsion that some parents have, and I don't care. For me, it's almost like a work of art. When I walk in and I see three aged 14 to 18-year-old men in varying stages of beard growth and varying stages of body odor, laying on the couch, one leg up on a window, another one kind of straddled across a coffee table, another guy with his hand down in his pants scratching it, and another guy, all of them with red bloodshot eyes, look like a couple of tomatoes in dirty milk. All of them staring at a screen where there's some kind of activity going on that is beyond. All you hear is word. Oh, dude! Dude, you could have killed him right there, Nick! Shut up! Okay, you're dead, man. Why don't you put on infinite life? And why don't you shut up, Chris, okay? You can play it better? I got this level in 7 months, man. That's why these cats talk, too. When I see those guys doing that, I go, that's fine. It may be 3 a.m., not a problem. But I said, hey, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, you know what you got to do? What? Well, you told me. You guys are going to go out there and you're going to weed that whole half acre. Oh, no, you didn't say. Yeah, oh, yes, I did. Well, why didn't you say something? I'm not going to say nothing, man. I ain't going to interrupt your good time. So, you know, every now and again, I drop the little bomb on those guys, because that's what you got to do. But it's good. Everything's good. As long as it's, like I said, as long as they're kicking ass in school, I don't care. But here's the argument I have with my wife and maybe, you know, some of you. Men are in this world for one reason and one reason only in terms of family. We provide the hard edge of discipline. Seriously. It's not that if you don't do that as a man, you're doing something wrong. But there is a role that we play, and we do sort of represent something positive in that there's a harder edge to the discipline that we mete out than perhaps mom. It's just the way our roles sort of play out, and the kids expect it. But I said to my wife, I go, you know, it's great. School's great. Get good grades, yeah. Go to school, super. Get a degree, tally-ho. But I will tell you that the world is filled with people who are success stories, who are high school dropouts, or didn't do all that well in college, or actually walked around, stumbling around like a bum in a fog until they were 30. So just because the guy is rolling out of school with his doctorate or his master's or something like that doesn't guarantee anything. I said good schoolwork doesn't guarantee anything. Every now and again, we gotta, you know, let them know that the world exists. Well, I just don't think that they should be asked, what's wrong with asking them to go down and get cat food? Well, you know, the kids are, like the other day. Am I complaining too much about my kids? All right, dig this. Wednesday morning, the garbage truck arrives. How do I know? Well, it's 6:30 in the morning and I can hear, meep, 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 meep. And I go, are the cans out in the street? And my wife says, yeah. I said, are you sure? Because there's only two cans out there. We got to get two cans of recycling out there and two cans of the regular stuff, okay? In my family, we recycle a hell of a lot. I said, I saw one can. Well, I know the kids did it. I said, I don't think so. So I throw on a pair of underwear, usually just briefs, and I run out there looking like some French-Canadian in a white Speedo with my big gut hanging out. And sure enough, one of the cans of recycling ain't out. 6:30 in the morning. And, of course, I'm the crazy man that runs out into the street as the garbage truck's coming out. Hey, hey, hey! Hey, hey!
Hey, don't worry, man. It's going to stop.
Damn. I know. I just died. I want you to fight the can. Okay, but I got to go down. I got to work three more streets. Then I'll come back. God dang it, man. Excuse my language. All right. I'm sorry, man. No problem. So then I run in there and I... Hey, yeah? How about taking the garbage out? So, you know, I woke up the little dreamy head. So what does my wife do? I suddenly see her out there taking a can out to the street. No, 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 no. Well, what difference does it make if it gets out? No, it makes a big difference. These cats are supposed to take the can out. So I took the can and I pulled it back into the backyard. I said, now they can do it. Ordinarily, that starts a huge fight, but, you know, my wife's kind of, she's getting it. And sure enough, out comes Sleepyhead, one of the three of them, with his five-day growth of beard and his breath that would freaking take the face off of your friendly neighborhood Al-Qaeda. You talk about taking some guy's head off with a saber. Just breathe on the guy. He goes, takes the can down to the end of the street. End of story. Big deal. It ain't going to kill him. School is fine. But it's overrated. For some people. You hear me? Overrated. Some people are in school and they ought to be getting on with their life. Maybe they already know what it is they want to do with their lives. Look, I don't want to say anything, but I'm 51 years of age. I make a pretty damn good living. I'm a college dropout. Now, what does that mean? It means I got a job that doesn't require a college education. If you hadn't noticed. And school would have been a waste of my life. But let me tell you something. If you can get the rights to a certain character in a video game, forget about school, man. You can make $1,000 a month, according to my son, and you can buy Daffy Duck or some crap like that. I got to look into it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. You can get the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD by calling 877-616-7445. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll tell you what I'm going to go see. I'm going to see this dodgeball. I don't give a sweet Jesus about anything. I'm seeing dodgeball, and that's all there is to it. 9-11, the temperature at which my ass fries. Who cares? Dodgeball, that's the flick. Ben Stiller, that guy, every movie that guy makes is funnier than hell. You know, there was a period in the late 80s to early 90s when the funniest man in the world was John Cleese. Then Bill Murray took over for a while. And then Cleese kind of battled him for one and two as the funniest men on the planet, in my opinion. Now, Ben Stiller, I believe, is if he's not number two or three, he's doing a number one. I mean, he should be number. I mean, he's number one. Every flick that guy makes is funnier than hell. And hell's pretty funny if you think about it. Cooking on a spit, having the devil sticking, you know, a pitchfork in your genitals. That what could be more fun than that? I mean, this dodgeball looks fantastic. And all those flicks, man, Starsky and Hutch, even Mystery Men was fine. The guy's funny. Anyway, I was looking on IMDb. There was another dodgeball in 2001. It was a short, a 22-minute short called Dodgeball, and it was a comedy. I wonder if the big movie, the true underdog story Dodgeball, is somehow a lift or otherwise an homage or otherwise was bought, you know, they purchased the little one and they made it into something else and paid the guy a pittance, and now they're making millions. I wonder. 1-800-449-8686. Chris, hello, Chris.
Yes.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. So, I know about what your son is doing, so, and I thought I'd call in and clarify it for you.
Yes, sir, okay.
Okay, please. So, what it is, this is for online games, and...
let me refresh the audience's memory. My son tells me that he can develop his mastery over a character to the point where he owns the rights to it.
You don't own the rights to the character. That's
okay.
By the creator of the game.
Okay. What do you get?
All right. It originated with a game called EverQuest, which is a solely online game. And basically, you just go online and you build up a character, and it's an online map. And once you build up a character to a certain level, like, you can sell it to people who are too lazy to build up the characters to that level themselves.
Is this a character that you create?
No, this is like a character that you select from the game.
Got it.
And then you go onto this online map and you battle people and you build up your ranks and whatnot.
Okay.
And then once you've got it to the point, then if somebody likes your character and they want to buy it from you, they don't buy the rights to it. They just buy like the screen name and like that character that you built up.
It's all of its skills, all of its attributes, etc., that you developed.
Exactly.
And then they take that character and they go into online tournaments with it or what have you, or what?
Yeah, they can just take that character that you built and play it on the game. And
are these obviously somebody's spending money to buy a character that you've built because they stand to make money themselves?
Yeah.
In these on these gaming tournaments online?
Yeah.
Got you. And also these tournaments that they have, like, at, you know, different video places around town. Like, here in town, my kids have gone into Hollywood a couple of times, like at 3 a.m., and met some furtive people in alleys who've showed them into a back door where they play video tournaments. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, I have. Okay. There's a pretty popular one for a game called Unreal Tournament, and there's a large cash prize for that. And,
wow.
People all over the world come and play that.
Do you have to go physically to a place, or can you? Is this tournament conducted online?
Some of them are online, and some of them you have to go to the place to play in the tournament. It depends on the game.
So that's pretty interesting. So it's called EverQuest.
Yeah, that was the first one, but nowadays you can do anything with all the game consoles out there that are online. You can do it with pretty much almost any game.
Can you do it with a Madden character? Can you do it with a Madden player? The sports games like football and hockey, or, you know, golf and that crap.
I'm not sure. I don't play many sports games.
Okay.
I know there's online tournaments for sports games that you play online at your house and you play people.
All right. Cool.
And whatnot. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Chris. Bye. Chris calling in from Cheyenne, so he had that sort of, that nice, lazy, drawling atmosphere, just, yeah. Not too impressed with you, Mr. Big City. Here's what you're trying to find out. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you, and welcome to the show.
Yeah.
He's out there, and he's gaming, and then he'll go out and sort of look at the moon and go, yep, it's nice. It's real nice. But I got to get out of here. And the only way to do it is to kill my paw. All right, now, we got an email here from Steve. It says, what Phil's kid is trying to do is sell game memory links that enable the purchaser to then install the link in his PS2, and that way he then has the levels unlocked without having to do the work. What? Well, apparently you don't know what you're talking about, Steve, because I just talked to some guy in Cheyenne, Wyoming, who knows more about it than some cat in Burbank. Nice try. Guy goes, ha ha, good luck making money on that one. Anyway, they do. They have these tournaments in Hollywood, and the kids will say, Maria says, the boys are going to a tournament again tonight. Will you talk to them about this? Where are you guys going? Hollywood. Hollywood. Yeah. And whereabouts in Hollywood? It's a place. It's a video cafe place. And they have, like, a tournament, you know, and we have a team. And they got, you know, it's like the three of them and then one of their buddies. I go, okay, what time are you guys going to be home? About 3 a.m. Bull crap. Ain't going to happen, man. Well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. But what are you talking about? You're going to Hollywood at that time of the morning? I know you guys are okay. They got every scumbag imaginable walking the streets down there then. You guys are to be home no later than 2:30. Have fun. All right, 1-800-449-8686. A Button RC out there? I got to talk to them. Coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show. They're at the 9/11 movie.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
R.C. Collins and Bud Dickman are at the Galleria in Sherman Oaks, California for the debut of Fahrenheit 9/11. And are you guys there now?
Yeah, we're right here. And the movie is going to start pretty soon.
Yeah, I got tickets for it, too.
All right, I didn't hear that, Bud.
No, I guess the tickets for it as soon as we can get them. Right.
Okay, so this film, I want you guys to watch Fahrenheit 9/11, The Temperature at Which Truth Burns, and then report on it, okay?
Yeah, we're going to go in now. Fahrenheit 451.
Okay.
Wait a minute, what?
Just say Fahrenheit 451.
Fahrenheit 451?
Fahrenheit 9/11, not Fahrenheit 451.
Then we're at the wrong
theater. We're at the wrong theater.
What movie is showing? What movie theater is showing Fahrenheit 451?
We're at the Rialto in South Pasadena.
Here we go.
The Rialto in South Pasadena is a freaking art house. They're not showing Fahrenheit 9/11. Get out of there and go to the place where. Go up. What are you guys doing in Pasadena? Go out to Sherman Oaks to where it is.
We're gonna go out to see Fahrenheit 9/11.
You're right out there.
What a couple of idiots. Yeah, we're at the Rialto in South Pass. Thought we'd go and see E.T. While they're doing that, I wanted to mention that Vice President Dick Cheney says he will not apologize. Let me repeat that. He will not apologize for dropping the F-bomb. He said, and I quote, I never apologize for dropping the F-bomb. Now, understand, when he said it, it was the Senate was not in session. And this was an exchange he was having with another senator, so it was not technically violating the rules of the Senate. It was, yes, very harsh language, but it was not intended for public consumption. But the president told him to basically, well, he said, F you, is what he said. Now asked if he's going to apologize, he said, no, I'm not apologizing. I never apologize for using that word. He further said, I felt rather good after I said it. All right, have we got these idiots? R.C. Collins and Bud Dickman are at the Galleria in Sherman Oaks to see Fahrenheit 9/11, the temperature at which truth burns. Okay, R.C., go ahead.
I still work at the Galleria here to see Fahrenheit. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
I'm seeing Formula 51.
To see Formula 51.
It ain't Formula 51, is it?
What?
It ain't Formula 51. Formula 51's out on DVD by now. Where the hell are you guys at that you're seeing Formula 51?
We're in Blockbuster. They're playing on...
Yeah, we went into a Blockbuster.
What are you guys doing in a freaking Blockbuster? Go to a freaking movie house, you idiots.
Guys playing it on a TV now. And we'll report on it.
I don't want you to report on that one. I want you to get your ass out of the Blockbuster and go to a movie theater.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like you're in the middle of Dodger Stadium over there. Okay, so they're going to go see Fahrenheit 9/11. Not Formula 51 and not Fahrenheit 451. Fahrenheit 9/11 so they can report on it. Anyway, I saw a really cool movie. Sorry, I'm just going to... I saw a great movie last night. You really see this. It was on HBO called Hannibal, The Real Hannibals. It's called The Real Hannibal Lecters, True Stories of Serial Murderer Cannibals. Wow. Have you seen this, Chris? Graphic as all get out, and it was on at the right time, like 3 a.m., so I got up and I made myself a ham sandwich, and I was sitting there just, oh my God, this is great. They had this sick, twisted psycho from Russia. Have you heard about this guy? Oh man, the dude is sitting in a cage, man. They had to have this guy in a cage. And he pulled his pants down in the middle of the trial going, basically saying, look at me, do you think that I can have sex with a normal woman? No, he's like his, taking his pants off, he's bald, he ate like five guys. The women, the mothers of their screen. Okay, are we ready to have these guys? I'll continue the story. R.C. Collins and Bud Dickman are out at the premiere of the new Fahrenheit 9/11, the motion picture that we've been hearing so much about. R.C., you there?
Right, Phil, we're here to see...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now what?
I got tickets for dodgeball. I got it.
Will you tell them that I want them to go see this movie? Oh, wait, are they back? What's up, man?
Yeah, we couldn't get in.
Why couldn't you get in?
It's rated R.
Don't worry, Phil. Let's try to get in.
Well, how are you guys going to get in if it's rated R?
Well, we'll try.
What do you want? Okay, so anyway, this movie on HBO is fantastic, and I enjoyed so much of... Okay, go ahead. Are you guys there?
Yes, sir, you're right here. And you're in the lobby of the movie theater.
What's wrong with your mouth?
We're in disguises.
Yeah, we have on plastic nose and glasses and mustaches.
You put on plastic noses and mustaches, huh, to get in to see Fahrenheit 9/11?
No, screw that. We're watching Harry Potter. That's what you want to do, right?
You want to do it?
Yeah, let's move on.
Hmm. All right, anyway. You know what, man? Don't ever, ever hook those cats up. They went in to see Harry Potter. As soon as somebody sees 9/11, I'll report on it for you. In the meantime, let's talk about that movie White Chicks. You know, I think it's great. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, that guy that cut that man's head off in Hollywood, whatever that, or the guy who allegedly did it, Mark just told me the quote was, he said to the cops, if I did do it, I really feel bad about it, but then I was on drugs that night. Oh, okay. You know what, man? I would suggest you stay away from drugs. You just can't, You know, they say that drugs are for people that can't handle reality, and some people say that reality is for people that can't handle drugs. That's definitely the case for that guy. Reality is far better for you, man, than taking drugs. Yeah, I was on drugs that night. You know, the whole thing about drugs, we're finally getting an idea about this in this society. You want to know why people take drugs? You want to know, bottom line, why people take drugs? Here it is. You ready? This is why people take drugs. Because they're self-medicating themselves. They need to. There's something wrong, and they're trying to take a cure. They're depressed. They're anxious. They're nervous. They're this, they're that, they're something else. We use drugs and have been using drugs since the very beginning of time to alter our mood. Today, we call them antidepressants, don't we? We call them antipsychotics. We call them a variety of things, tranquilizers and so on. We use them. Doctors prescribe them. And the more we know about them, the better they get. They actually have drugs now that they can treat schizophrenics with. It used to be thought that schizophrenics had some kind of a childhood trauma, like they needed more therapy, like they had to be chained to a wall and hosed down. Now we know we can give a schizophrenic a drug, the right kind of chemical, can balance those neurotransmitters, and they're not talking to themselves, man. They're not walking into walls. Simple as that. Just as simple as that. People that were traditionally depressed, couldn't get out of bed, we can give them chemicals now, and they're walking around. They're going to have jobs. They're doing this and that. Doctors are finding more and more out about this. You ever heard of an EEG, you guys? You know, guys out there know what an EEG is? Electroencephalograph. Now, what does that do? Well, we've had them since the 1920s, but nobody has ever really been able to read them. No one's ever been able to really read them until a guy by the name of, well, I can mention a very famous doctor that I know of, Dr. Emery, right out here in Beverly Hills. He can read an EEG, he can look at the wavelengths and look at sections of the brain and see which are acting abnormally and prescribe medicine based upon EEG. There's no blood test for what's wrong with your brain. You can't go to the doctor, have him draw blood and tell you, well, Charlie, you need to lose some weight because your triglycerides are up. Well, you know, you may be diabetic because your blood sugar's too high. No. If you're crazy, if you're loony in the head or just depressed or whatever the hell your problem is, they can't draw any blood and see what the hell's wrong with your brain, man. There is no blood test for the brain. But guess what they do have? They've got something that they've had since the 1920s that finally, at least one doctor that I know of and maybe some others, they actually know how to read it. It's called an EEG. They can read the activity of the brain. And they can prescribe medicine based upon what abnormal activity they see. And in 50 years' time, the drug problem in the world will be gone because of this work. You want to know why? People won't need to self-medicate any longer. Alcoholics who can't handle alcohol, and that's a whole side issue. Everybody drinks for a variety of reasons. Most of us who drink in a healthy way drink so that we're not abusing it. Many people drink because they have real depression problems. They need to, you know, they need to self-medicate. Some people are doing coke because they need to speed up. Some people are doing crack because they need to speed up a whole bunch. Some people are smoking weed because they need to chill out. Whatever it is, there's something wrong with their brain if they're abusing it, right? Some people are doing smack because they got all kinds of problems. In 50 years' time, there's going to be places all over the country, kind of like urgent care centers, kind of like emergency clinics, and you'll be able to go in, sit down, tell the doctor how you're feeling. He'll be able to read your EEG, read that electroencephalograph, and prescribe medicines, prescribe drugs, that's right, drugs, that will balance the chemicals in the brain, the neurotransmitters, and the problem of drug abuse will be gone. Just like that. It's happening. And all that other bullcrap, interdiction, Columbia, DEA, if we don't have a supply of drugs, then people won't want them. It's ridiculous. People need drugs because it's not because they're degenerate. It's because they're trying to self-medicate themselves. We got a problem with depression and all kinds of crap for years, man. People are trying to do something to, you know, correct their brain chemistry. And so that's why we do that. What do you think of that? Sounds like a load of hooey to me, if you want my honest opinion, but I was just sort of repeating something that I believe it, and I think it'll happen. Now, in the meantime, though, we're living in the world that we're living in, right? This hellhole, this pit, this place where we can't even get a decent gallon of gasoline, man, without cutting off our arm and giving our firstborn, huh? Well, here are the best fuel economy cars right now. Before we get to that glorious day where you can walk in and say, hey, Doc, I feel like I want to commit a cannibal serial murder. Have you got something for me? Boink! You take this little purple pill, and you won't want to eat human flesh. You want to go home to a nice pork chop. Until we get to that day, we still have to pay $2.76 a gallon for gasoline, and it ain't going to change anytime soon, even if John Kerry becomes president. Don't worry about it. So, as a public service, here are the top 10 fuel-efficient model lines. Now, the Phil Henry Show doesn't just talk about top fuel-efficient cars. We're big believers in the hybrid around here. The hybrid automobile is the future, at least the short-term future. You cannot complain about the price of gasoline unless you're willing to do some bloody thing about it, and the way to do something about it is to buy a hybrid that operates on electrical as well as gasoline power. Its batteries are charged when you brake, so you're not plugging it in, man. I'm not talking about plugging in a car. Maybe that's what a lot of people don't get about hybrids. You don't plug in jack. And you don't plug it into a jack. You get the gasoline, and then and as you drive and brake, the batteries are recharged. And until we wake up and, you know, we're still deeply asleep, we're still going to be driving around a fat SUV pigs. And I'm going to have to keep listening to cats like the guy I heard the other day saying to me, oh, the war in Iraq is a bunch of crap. Okay, fine, man. It's a bunch of crap. Whatever, you know. I said, but the fact of the matter is, as long as we're driving cars, dude, we need oil. And as long as we need oil, then we're going to need to pull it out of the Middle East, because that's where the main provider of American oil, at least the main exporter of American oil, is Saudi Arabia. Well, I think people would rather pay $10 a gallon for gasoline than be involved in the Middle East. Is that right? I said. Do you understand what $10 a gallon would do? What? Well, the recession that we're trying to avoid would come on like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist in the great words of Firesign Theater, man. You wouldn't know what hit you. Recession? Like you wouldn't believe, friend. No people out of jobs. Okay? If you think you got a problem with the economy right now, if you think things are bad now, go ahead, jack it up to $10 a gallon, man. Watch what happens. Well, then we'll just have to walk to work. This is what happens. No, what do you mean? What are you talking about, walk to work, man? I live freaking 30 miles from my job. What are you talking about? Are you stupid? Well, I think we'd pay $10 a gallon. They do in Europe. Great. Ain't exactly where I want to live, though, is it, man? If I wanted to live in Europe, I'd be living over in Europe. Those people driving those gas hogs, man, they're the ones that are the problem, and you got to get off of that stuff and start driving a car that's got some kind of decent mileage. The number one the number one EPA fuel efficiency for an automobile is the Honda Insight. 66 miles on the highway. It's got to be a hybrid. 66 miles on the highway, followed by the Toyota Prius, 51 miles per gallon highway. Now, understand, the Honda Insight, they say, gets 60 in the city. Now, you guys at Honda, you better be telling me the truth. You understand? Because the last word I got was from that listener who said he was only getting, 32 in the city. But this is a Honda Insight. He was talking about something else. Well, no, he was talking about the Honda Hybrid, so that's what they're claiming. Now, this is from what magazine? Okay. It's from what? MSN.com. Is that who did the research? Okay. MSN Autos is the website. Followed by the Honda Civic Hybrid, 48 in the city, 47 in the, country, out on the highway, in the city, in the country. Oh, see, so Honda Insight gets 66. The Toyota Prius, 51. The Honda Civic Hybrid, 47. The new Volkswagen Beetle TDI, 46. I wouldn't get anything that gets less than 50 on the highway. Don't even, if they're telling you they're pulling in 38 on a highway, why don't you tell her to take that car and stick it back on the boat to Japan? I'm not kidding you. Any hybrid that isn't going to get you at least 50 on the highway, tell a guy to go sell it to somebody else, okay? Stop wasting your time. And you guys that are making the cars, including you, Ford, with that bullcrap truck you got coming out, you better get serious, okay? I want 3,000 miles to the gallon, or I'm not even... I'm not going near one of these things, man. And when are you coming out with that flying car like I keep talking about? Anyway, then there's the Volkswagen Jetta 46 on the highway, Volkswagen Jetta Wagon 47. Forget it. Toyota Corolla 40. Oh, boy. But that Insight, now that's, you know, you're, now you're talking 66 on the highway, 60 in the city. I'd check that one out. I highly recommend it. You at least talk to somebody about that Honda Insight. And if it ain't sexy enough to take out your girlfriend in, take another job, man, so you can keep your sex car, your Camaro, and drive this thing back and forth to work. Do something, anything, ladies and gentlemen. I know I am. Come December, man, I'm turning that gas hog of mine back in. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.